This newsletter is a little less fun than the others. It talks about depression, anxiety, stress, and the consequences, including suicide. It can be an uncomfortable and unpleasant topic, but it is essential to talk about, especially in the situation that we currently find ourselves. My hope is that by reading this email or listening to this podcast, some of you might be able to help a colleague who might otherwise be suffering in silence. If you do, please let me know. We all need some good news stories right now. Additionally, I'm not a medical professional, and so if any of the following resonates with you, either for yourself or someone you know, then please reach out and talk. There are some links and phone numbers in the show notes and at the bottom of the newsletter if you get that. Although if you do want to reach out to talk to me, I'm more than happy to talk. Hello, and welcome to the audio version of the People Post newsletter. If you work with people, you're in the right place. This newsletter covers everything from high-performing teams to remote work, from what benefits should you offer your employees, to should your people be allowed to wear slippers when they're at work. If you'd like to subscribe to the email version, head on over to #people.co.uk and enter your email address there. While there, you can also join our Slack community, and there are thousands of other people-oriented folks just waiting to say hello and involve you in their conversations. In 2019, 1,800 out of every 100,000 workers suffered from anxiety, depression, or work-related stress in Great Britain. And each of those cases accounted for 21.2 days of lost work. That's 12.8 million days just in Great Britain. In 2019, there were 5,691 suicides registered in England and Wales, and standardised rate of 11 deaths per 100,000 population, and consistent with the rate in 2018. Three quarters of those deaths were men. These figures are obviously shocking, but they highlight a problem that has been around for a while, and will continue to be around as long as going to work is a thing. And next year, when the real cost of the pandemic is known, it's likely that these stats will be higher. As people battle with uncertainty, loneliness, and job losses, it's crucial now, more than ever, that we take care of each other. Spotting depression is not always easy. The symptoms and signs can range from feeling a bit blue to an overwhelming sense of despair and hopelessness. This latter end of the scale may impair someone's thought processes. Their ability to focus and apply attention could be low or non-existent, and negative thought patterns and loops, which could lead to suicidal thoughts, are also possible. The UK mental health charity Mind says that people with depression may also feel restless, guilty, numb, isolated, a sense of unreality, no confidence or self-esteem, and maybe unable to find pleasure in things that they usually do. It feels awkward asking, "Are you okay?" What if the person you're asking is not okay? What do you do then? What if they are okay and just having a bad day? Will you upset them? It's better to ask than not to ask. Someone who is just having a bad day may snap at you, but they'll get over it. Someone who is depressed may appreciate you asking. That said, here are some behaviours that people suffering from depression at work will exhibit. Firstly, they might be avoiding social events, and this will be harder to spot as everyone is remote. But if a colleague is skipping the virtual drinks or coffee chats you've been organising, this might be a time to reach out and ask, "Are you okay?" They might have difficulty speaking, thinking, or concentrating. A usually eloquent colleague has begun to repeat themselves, mix up their arguments, or start a different conversation from the one you thought you were having might need a chat. And equally, someone who isn't delivering and cites being unable to concentrate or focus may need to talk. Some people with depression have difficulty making decisions. Now, making decisions can often be challenging, and sometimes work throws things at us that are more challenging than life's regular pros and cons. Still, someone who repeatedly makes decisions look difficult or procrastinates on simple binary decisions may need help. Colleagues with depression may also be offline or uncontactable more frequently, or for longer periods than usual. And this may be a sign that they're sleeping too much or simply unable to bring themselves to work, even if that work is at their kitchen table. Depressed colleagues might be getting angry or agitated much more easily than usual. Frequent out-of-character angry outbursts or emails or chats may indicate changes in mood that could be linked to depression. But be considerate. The odd example of these from a colleague or someone consistently only exhibiting one behaviour may not be depressed. After all, some people don't like social events and others struggle to make decisions. If you spot multiple of the behaviours consistently, it's probably worth reaching out. But also consider talking to a mutual colleague to see if anyone else has witnessed the same behaviours or is similarly concerned. But be mindful of gossip though. Sometimes you know your colleagues better than their friends and family. We often spend more time with other humans at work than we do with humans we consider friends and family. And pay closer attention to those people you know live alone. I have colleagues in Melbourne and Sydney who I know live alone and check in regularly with them. But being alone, especially in lockdown, can be extra tricky. The most valuable thing you can do to help somebody with depression is simply to listen. Be open and honest about depression and about difficult emotions. You may not even need to say anything, but just being there to listen might be enough. But asking someone out of the blue, "Are you okay?" can still feel a bit forced and unnatural. A good friend of mine, Matt, gave some great advice.
My name's Matthew and I work for a London charity. Whether you're a line manager or a colleague within a team, everybody has the opportunity to contribute to the workplace being a supportive environment. But I think if you are going to ask a person, "Are you okay?" there are some things that is probably worth bearing in mind. The first is the time and the place. Is it a comfortable environment to have that conversation? Is it a confidential environment to have that conversation? Try not to pounce on someone if they seem particularly engaged in a piece of work or you know that they've got to be in a meeting in 5 minutes' time. In a similar way, have you got the time to have that conversation? Can you really listen to someone if you know that you've got another appointment to attend to in a few moments? The other thing is context. To ask someone, "Are you okay?" It might seem quite intimidating, especially if it's coming out of the blue. It might be quite an exposing conversation for that person to have. It's also a closed question, so the tendency might be to answer, "Yeah, I'm fine actually," just to shut that down because you don't know where it's going. So a bit of context can help that person to understand your intention. It might be, for example, you've noticed that they've stopped attending like virtual drinks or work-related social events. You used to be regular at these things, but I've noticed you've stopped attending. Is there a problem? Is everything okay? And it gives that person an opportunity to clarify any misunderstandings, because they might have a perfectly practical reason for not attending anymore. Maybe they have, you know, another appointment to attend to, or a family member that has an appointment to attend to that night. But it also acts as an icebreaker that might enable them to feel safe enough to say, "Well, actually, no, I haven't been feeling very social recently," or "I've noticed that when I have a few drinks, I start to feel depressed." Also, it might be a work-related issue. Perhaps this is someone that always used to deliver work on time, but they've missed their last couple of deadlines. So by putting it in that context, it enables you to say, you know, "Has anything changed? Are there any problems there? Is there anything I can offer you some support with?"
If your colleague does suffer from depression or is suffering from depression, then support them to get help. Don't force them to get help. Reassure them that it's okay to ask for help, and we all need it from time to time. We spend a pile of money on making our bodies look great in a gym, but little to no time is spent on one of our most important muscles, our brain. Also, try not to do everything for them if they're struggling. It might be tempting to take as much off their plate as possible, but ask if they need help and encourage them to do some things themselves. Keep in touch with them. Make sure you initiate conversations. It might be hard for someone with depression to reach out. They may not have the energy to, they may feel like they're being a bother. And something as simple as a Slack or Teams or WhatsApp message saying hi or asking how they are can make a big difference. Definitely don't criticise. Unless you've experienced depression yourself, it's really hard to comprehend what someone is going through. It's not just being a bit sad. It's much, much more than that. And suggesting someone snap out of it or smell the roses definitely won't help. Also, you can check what kind of plans or things that your organisation provides already for this kind of situation. Some organisations have an employee helpline or similar that you can use for support. Finally, make sure you take good care of yourself. It's hard to be useful to anyone if you're also struggling. It's like when you're on an aeroplane and the oxygen mask drops down. Fit yours before helping others with theirs, because passed out people can't fit oxygen masks on those who haven't passed out and need their help. Practice and look after your own mental health, and don't be afraid to ask for help if you need it. There's some links in the show notes, but some numbers that might be useful to you. In the UK, Samaritans is 116 123, and in the US it's 1-800-273-8255, and Australia it's 135-247. In most countries in the world, there are plenty of places to go for help. There's Mind in the UK, mentalhealth.gov in the US, and headtohealth.gov.au in Australia. And there's plenty of not-for-profits and charities that can help that with that kind of thing too. Check the show notes or the newsletter that accompanies this podcast. Thanks for listening to this edition of the People Post. If you'd like to receive the newsletter version or join the Slack group, head over to #people.co.uk where you can do both. And if you've got something you'd like me to cover in a future edition, have a challenging problem at work you'd like some advice on, or simply want to say hi, please feel free to drop me an email on mike@people.co.uk. Thanks again.